Her psychologist took sexual advantage of her, and then she entered the forbidden. Next on this edition of It's Supernatural.
Centuries have come and gone, offering wisdom and understanding throughout the ages. Today, there should be nothing beyond one's power to discover. And yet, the strange, unusual, and mysterious world of the supernatural defies understanding. Stay tuned for a unique and powerful investigation into a curious, undiscovered universe only on It's Supernatural.
Hello, I'm Sid Roth, your investigative reporter. I'm here with a Jewish woman, Linda Stein. I mean, it's almost outrageous. She's got everything going for her. A college degree, she's young, she's pretty, and she's depressed. Suicidal. Why, Linda?
Well, I went to college, got my bachelor's in theater. I wanted to be an actress. From the time I was 13, I wanted to be an actress. And finished college and went out to do the acting. And my parents really pushed for me to get more education because they didn't feel as though it was appropriate. And I wanted to please them. And so I went in the direction that they wanted me to. And I went back for, instead of a master's degree in theater, I went and got an AA in business computers. And in that stumbling around, in that time frame, I went to Los Angeles for a while to pursue acting. Got mono, came home.
How awful.
Came home, went to school, got my AA, and then I started having problems with depression. And I was not happy because I was not doing what I felt like I wanted to, and I wanted to make my parents happy. And so I got very depressed and suicidal. And I was at the University of Iowa, I remember the day, and I was staring at the water. It was probably about 30 degrees out, and who knows what wind chill, and I was looking at the water of a river, and it was tumbling and going in different directions, and I stared down there, and I wondered if I jumped in, if anyone would care. And at that point, I began to see that I needed to go get help. And so I went home, asked my parents, I need some help. I'm really messed up. And so they sent me to the psychologist. And we got into therapy.
And, did he help?
Well, in one respect, he tried in the beginning. He tried. And then as we got into the relationship, he started to cross over the boundaries of patient-doctor relationship and started making suggestions of us proving some of the theories that he was giving by going out and doing things. And at that point in my life, I was so down. There was nothing, that I didn't care anymore. My morals were gone. My feelings of boundaries were gone. I just wanted to be healed. I was desperate for love. I was desperate for somebody to tell me that what I and who I was okay, and that my future was going to happen, and to have hope and peace and joy. And I just, I would have done anything. I was selling my soul to the devil, basically, because I was ready for that much. And so in the confines of that relationship, as we crossed the boundaries and we started going out, we go out jogging, we go do different things. I knew he was married. I knew all this. I knew everything, but I was getting attention. And I was getting structured attention. And I felt as though I needed that. So I was trying to help myself. And in that effort, then a relationship began, a sexual relationship began with that. And it was a bittersweet experience. On the sweet side, I was getting attention. And on the bitter side, it wasn't the right attention.
So Yom Kippur comes up. You go to the synagogue.
That's right.
What were you looking for?
I quickly began to see that relationship wasn't working. I started to see him enjoy the fact that he was having this relationship with me and that it was sin. And I didn't know anything about sin. I mean, I just knew right and wrong, go to the synagogue. And on Yom Kippur, I decided I'm going to find out with what atonement for sins are, and I am going to fast on this day. And on that day, I fasted, and I said, God, I'm going to take the words of this prayer book, and I'm going to make these words mean something to me. And I read them. I didn't know what they meant. I remember reading a little bit of Isaiah, although Isaiah is not in there. But I tried to make them work. And at the end of the service that day, I was walking outside of the synagogue, and I saw this doctor with another woman that wasn't his wife. And the Holy Spirit came over me, and it was like I knew that what we were doing had to stop. It was wrong. It was totally wrong. And so I began to terminate the relationship, and I started my journey towards the Lord. God put me in play after play after play, but the first play he put me in, as I was terminating the relationship with the doctor, the first play he put me in was Joseph in the amazing Technicolor Dreamcoat. And the man that was Joseph, that played Joseph, and I was the narrator in the play, was a born-again Christian who had never done anything outside of the church. And he began to witness to me and share the Lord with me. He didn't know anything about my past. He didn't know about the doctor. He didn't know about anything. He just started sharing the Lord. And 8 months later, and I debated, and I fought, and I kicked, and I screamed, and I objected to everything about Christianity. I got on my knees, and I said, Jesus, I'm a Jew. I'm not supposed to believe in you. Everything I've been taught says that you don't exist. But if you're real, come into my life. And at that point, I felt this real tense time. And then I sensed like somebody bopped me on the head, just like that. I sensed the Holy Spirit just enter into my head, and this peace came all over me, and I was saved. And so I called my friend.
I have to ask you a question. According to my notes, you were not only depressed, you were taking lithium.
Oh, yeah.
What happened to the lithium?
Well, I started taking myself off the lithium. After I got saved, I started taking myself off the lithium. And I was diagnosed as a manic depressive in that time frame. And I thought, you know what? I don't need this. And so I slowly started decreasing the amount of my medication on my own. And eventually, I'm not manic. I'm not manic at all.
I'll tell you what. She's not only not manic, not depressive. You've got some joy. You really have joy.
Joy. Yeah.
Your face is beaming. How long ago did this happen?
It happened about 14 years ago.
Do you believe as much today as you did 14 years
Every
ago?
Every ounce of it and more. I'm a different person, and not just because I've gotten older, because a lot of people will say, oh, well, you know, you grow and, you know.
You'll get over it.
Yeah, you just grew out of it. It was a stage, but absolutely not. I was determined that I was going to get on the other side of that depression, and what I did is I just worked through all the depression, me, God, and people, God's people who he brought around me, and the Bible, and I am not a manic depressive.
Linda, listen, we're having another Jewish man on when we come back. And this particular Jewish man was so depressed, he became a hermit, locked himself in his apartment for 6 months with nothing to eat or drink. What a miracle. Don't go away. Hello, YouTube Mishpocha. Mishpocha is a Hebrew word. It means family. This is Sid Roth. Welcome to my world, where it's naturally supernatural. If you've been blessed by this show, please subscribe. Then click the bell so you won't miss a single episode of It's Supernatural. It's unbelievable. I've got another Jewish person here that had every reason to be happy, to be up. I mean, a successful graphic artist, a playwright, an author, everything to live for. But he found himself, because he had a health problem, he started fasting. He felt that would help. He was involved in the New Age, and he had learned these techniques. And but in your wildest imagination, Joel, did you think that you would be in that room for 6 months without
No.
food and water?
Never thought about that.
Tell me what it was like.
It felt like hell, although I know there's a literal hell, but it felt like hell. Terribly lonely, and I didn't know what was happening to me. And I'd be laying on my bed for weeks and weeks at a time, actually for over 6 months.
Didn't someone call you?
Some of my clients called me, but I never returned their calls. My dad called me to try and get in touch with me after a few months that they didn't hear from me, they were concerned. And I didn't return their calls.
Now, you realize that you had told me you had a little bit of water, but I talked with a doctor about your condition, by the way, because I wanted to check it up.
Right.
And this doctor told me in medical history in 1935 there was a deranged man that literally went for years by just eating grass. And he said, but that was the closest he knew. And in his opinion, the only way you could be sustained is if you had a miracle.
Well, I believe that's what happened to me.
So tell me about that period of time in your life.
During the 6 months?
Yes.
I was fasting and I lost control. I was in the New Age for about 13 years and did all those things like the I Ching and tarot and yoga and meditation. And I had a physical problem and I decided to fast it. And I was fasting for a few weeks. I was going to do a shut away. And I lost control and I didn't get up out of bed. And during that period of time, well, first I bolted the door. I remember that. And then for 6 months, I didn't have anything to drink or eat except about that much water and two little scrawny boiled carrots. And I didn't know why or how I survived, but after 6 months, the same way I put myself in my apartment, all of a sudden it changed.
I mean, just but wait. Let's talk about this 6 months for a little bit. For instance, he told me that he just happened, and this is kind of unusual as a Jewish man, he just happened to be listening to the radio the whole time, and it just happened to be on a religious channel. Tell me about that.
Before I bolted myself away to my apartment, I met this woman around the corner, and she would share her love of God with me. And she told me about this station that was playing in New Jersey. And for some reason, I wanted to listen to it. And I didn't even have a radio that was equipped with an AM station. And I borrowed this old gray radio from someone in the building, because I didn't have a radio. And I just turned this channel on. So the only company that I had in 6 months were these people that were preaching to me and talking to me, sharing their love of God over the air, 7 days a week, 24 hours a day. That's the only thing. And
did you like it?
I heard them mention God's name and talking about his son. And I remember a number of times that if they didn't mention his son's name within about an hour, I got really anxious, like even fearful, because they weren't talking and saying his name. And when they would say his name, all of a sudden I'd be able to take a deep breath and rest back in bed. And something about his name, I could, it was almost like, it was health. I felt the health. I mean, it was just a feeling.
But many Jewish people, because of anti-Semitism, we hear the name Jesus and we don't have an affectionate feel.
Right.
How come? This is strange.
I've had the same experience before. I had that experience in my apartment, is that people would say the name Jesus, or they would want me to go to church, and being brought up Jewish and bar mitzvahed and confirmed, and we would never want to go near church or be around those other people. And because I didn't know why, but that's what we were told and that's how we were taught. And you get a habit of doing what you're taught, and you're a product of your environment, I guess. And I really don't know. I think it's supernatural. I think it's supernatural. I was into yoga. I meditated. I studied Taoism, read Confucius. I had over 80 books. I had bits and pieces of literature. My parents didn't get upset about it. Other people didn't get upset about it. When I first said about Jesus, they got crazy.
What stopped that 6 months? You said you just, at the end of 6 months, you just got up and you were normal?
Well, my beard had grown, and I didn't take a shower for 6 months.
Oh!
I know, it was pretty ratty. And my hair had grown into a ponytail, and what happened was, at the end of 6 months, my brother and an attorney friend of his and the janitor came to the front door, and I heard, it was like someone had this, like, 12-pound sledgehammer, and they were smashing into my door. So I went up, now, I didn't realize at the time, but I was having a nervous breakdown, and I kind of tiptoed to the front door and kind of put my ear up there to who's over there, and I'm hearing them about, they're talking about taking the door off the hinges, and something snapped inside of me or clicked, And then what I did is I unbolted the door, opened it, and stood there as if they were guests invited for afternoon tea. And all of them, both three of them, turned as if they were white as ghosts. And here I was, I had lost 50 pounds. I had my beard, and I guess a Yiddish word is shissel. It was like a shissel of a beard, and my hair was in a ponytail. And they wanted to put me in the hospital and do things, and thank God I just went to Florida to see my folks and for a couple of weeks. But that's how I opened the door. And then I returned to New York, and for the next 9 years or so, I returned to the graphic arts because I had all 6 months of those bills to pay.
And so it was like, this is what's just phenomenal to me. No. Here's 6 months, you're like a vegetable, you're having a nervous breakdown, you're being would you say you were sustained by what the words that were coming out of that religious station?
I believe so, yes.
And then you just like instantly snap out of it, but you had some problems afterwards and you went through what was called deliverance. Explain that.
Well, over the next, I received the Lord, and during that time, I said yes to Jesus, and that changed my life, not in a religious way, but in a spiritual way. And what I was looking for in the New Age, I found in Him. And for the next 17 years, in the beginning of that, I had deliverance. I didn't realize that when you dabble with the New Age, you can't possibly become possessed by demons. I remember one time for a period of...
Excuse me, hold that thought. You can be possessed by demons? I want to continue that thought when we come back. Don't go away. Hello, Sid Roth. Before we continue where we left off with Richard Davis, I want to find out who our guest is going to be next week. Let's go to the control room. Janie, who's on?
Sid, you're going to be interviewing a Jewish chiropractor who has found parts of the New Testament in code in the Old Testament. So he's found the Christian Bible, as some people say it, in the Jewish scriptures in code. And also in his practice, people are supernaturally healed. There was one girl in a coma and half of her body was paralyzed and she was totally healed.
I'm really looking forward to that. Did you hear what Janie said? She said that in code they have found parts of the New Testament, the Christian Bible, in the Jewish scriptures. Well, I'm here with Joel Davis, and Joel, I'm just kind of like what you went through. I mean, I know that the Bible says all things are possible, but you are stretching the faith of even me, to be quite candid
right.
with you. But you went through something called deliverance, and a lot of our viewers don't know much about that. Explain it.
Well, remember The Exorcist? It was a movie years ago.
Yes.
I remember when I heard about that and heard the coming attractions about that and watched them, it really scared me. It bothered me. I turned it off because I didn't even want to think about that.
Mm-hmm.
And while I was going through this before, during, and after, I realized that this is real. And when you play around with God the way I was in the New Age and not go after the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, you're playing around with fire.
What is the difference? I mean, since you've been in both arenas, you've been in the arena of the demonic New Age and the arena of God, what is the difference?
A real knowing, a true peace. When I was in the New Age, there was a peace that I only know now after having coming out of it. It's like a false peace. The people weren't really at peace and I wasn't in peace. Everybody was looking and searching, but no one was ever finding. And I never really saw what the spiritual discipline that they were part of ever affect their lives. They never seemed to become nicer, more joyful. And I found that in my Messiah, that you do become more joyful, and there's nothing to be frightened of, and fear is I think it's a deception that all people have, and you have to, it's only by God's mercy that he even shows us the truth, and then his mercy that we hear it.
When you were going through your deliverance,
right.
For someone that's never seen anything like that before,
right.
Explain it just a little bit.
There was a woman, a friend of mine, who had also accepted the Lord years before, And we were in my apartment, and over a period of in my apartment and in another apartment, 4 days and 23 hours, things were, I guess, pulled out of me. One day, my body was swept back and forth in my apartment for 9 straight hours. Try pushing your body across the floor for a half an hour, you'd run out of energy. And that happened for 9 hours. That's supernatural to me.
You seem to be very calm. You seem to be at peace with yourself, at peace with God, and there are many that are watching right now that are not at peace with themselves. They're not at peace with God. You're very worried. You're fearful. As a matter of fact, you have such tremendous fears right now. There is hope. Richard, I want you to talk to some of these people and tell them.
I think it's really hard for people to admit that they're lonely and depressed, even suicidal, disgruntled, that the things that they're doing, it's hard to come to grips with their life. The truth is very frightening, but there's a verse in the Bible that says that the truth will set you free, but you have to want to be free. And there's a poem that I had wrote that I showed you in the book last night. It's called The Red Cotton Towel, it's people love their own pain because it's comfortable and it's secure. And to go into something new is more scary than to get out of their pain. That pain is a comfortable security blanket. But because I was able to accept the Lord, He was able to help me get out of the pain, to see the truth, and He set me free. And that's what happened. And that's why the joy that God truly gives you, no one can take away. I never saw that in the New Age. You're not lonely, increasingly. You're not depressed. And also, God shows you how to stay that way. I never saw that in the New Age. It never helped me that way.
Is your pain your friend? Are you ready to be free? I tell you, I expose the New Age, and your pain is not your friend. I say there is a real peace. The word in Hebrew is shalom. It means a completeness. There is completeness for you. I want to pray for you right now. If you will believe that God is going to touch you right now, I know He will. First, out loud, say, God, I'm sorry for everything I've done to offend you, for my sins. I hurt. I need help. I believe that Jesus died for my sins. And by His blood, I am free. I make you, Jesus, my Lord and my Messiah. Lord Jesus, come inside of me. Take over my life. I make you Lord over my life. In Jesus' name. And now I'm not speaking to you, I'm speaking to the spirit that's attached to you that has no rights. In the name of Jesus, I bind you, spirit of pain and grief and hurt and betrayal. I bind you in Jesus' name and command you off of these people. I break every curse over their life up to 4 generations in Jesus' name. And I thank you. You know, people are being healed right now. Very important for you to forgive anyone that has ever hurt you. They don't deserve it, but you didn't, and I didn't deserve it either. Choose, it's a choice, it's not a feeling. Choose to forgive everyone that has ever hurt you in any area of your life. If you'll do that right now, God will set you free. I pray that you would be filled in grief. I command you to leave in Jesus' name. I command you to leave in Jesus' name. I plead the precious blood of my Messiah all around you, and I speak such shalom, such peace into you, peace that you've never experienced before, because it's the Spirit of God. It's the peace of God. I pray, Father God, that you put hope in the hopeless right now. I can feel the peace of God going deeper and deeper into your very fiber of your being, into your very bones, you're free. And as Richard said, you'll know the truth. The truth will set you free. The truth set you free, Richard.
Amen.